Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Life Coach Radio Network. I'm David Frank Gomes, and thanks for joining me on Frank Talk, the radio show about the art and science of a meaningful life. I'm a co-active Life Compass coach and a spiritual mentor, and I was trained by master coaches from the Coaches Training Institute. If you want to know more about my process and how you can experience working with me, feel free to visit my website at lifecompasscoaching.ca or visit me on Facebook at Life Compass Coaching. Okay, let's get into it. Each of us is here now because in one way or another we share a commitment to language and the power of language, and also to reclaiming language for ourselves and our own transformation. And I'm going to offer that it's vitally necessary for each one of us to establish a strong connection between our language and our life, our language and our feelings, our language and our thoughts. And our internal conversations characterize how we view the world, and they influence every part of our lives, relationships, achievements, attitude, and ultimately our degree of personal happiness. If this internal dialogue focuses on your faults, mistakes, weaknesses, insecurities, fears, or other negative things, it's virtually impossible to feel good about yourself and advance your life forward. Furthermore, negative thinking can have a very detrimental effect on your health and just the overall quality of your life. If, on the other hand, your self-talk concentrates on your strengths, blessings, successes, opportunities, and other positive thoughts, you'll tend to feel better about yourself. You'll enhance your ability to overcome obstacles, which we all face. And as a whole, your life will become more enjoyable and fulfilling. And the great news is that you can control what you think about, and you can replace any negative thought with a more positive thought. Like anything else, it is a practice, though, and it gets easier over time. And that's something very valuable. I'm sure you've heard someone say to you, you're going to eat those words. It may sound like a mere phrase to us, but in reality, we do eat our words. They do nourish us if we use the right one. And what we say not only affects others, but it's also affecting ourselves. So I think words are wonderful when they're used in a proper way. They can encourage us. Well, they give us confidence. The right words spoken at the right moment can actually be life-changing for people. And I speak from experience as someone who has witnessed many folks making huge breakthroughs in areas of their lives from conversation. And in my own experience working with my own teachers and other coaches, I see the power of words to really create huge shifts in people's lives. And I'm going to say we can literally increase our own joy and our own happiness just by speaking to ourselves in a new way. We can also upset ourselves by talking about our problems unnecessarily or things that have hurt us in a fundamental way and repeat those stories. So what happens when we speak? The words that come out of our mouth go down into our ears as well as other people's. And then they drop down into our soul, where they give us either joy or sadness, peace or upset, depending on the type of words we've spoken. When we understand the power of words and realize that we can choose what we think and speak, our lives are beginning to be transformed. There's a saying, where the mind goes, the person follows. And it could also be said, where the mind goes, the mouth follows, or the language follows. Now, I'm going to start this journey from the inside out, because when I coach, that's one principle I'm always using. So we could say the most important conversation you'll ever have is the one you have with yourself. let's call it self-talk, for lack of a better word. We're always speaking to ourselves. So if we start with the inner language and get that cleaned up, then it will always trickle down into our outer language and into our outer circumstances. So we begin from the inside out in order to ultimately change the language of our lives. So first I'm going to say something here people might find a little radical, or maybe not. You can't have a feeling without first having a thought. The thoughts create the feelings, not the other way around. And here's an experiment to prove it. Try getting angry without first having an angry thought. Try feeling stressed without first having a stressful thought. Or try being really sad without first letting a sad thought take you there. You can't do it. It's impossible. The truth is, in order to experience a feeling, you must first think a thought that produces that feeling. Unhappiness doesn't and can't exist on its own. Unhappiness is a feeling that accompanies negative thinking about life. In the absence of that thinking, the unhappiness or stress or jealousy or fill in the blank can't exist. So there's nothing to hold your negative feelings in place other than your own thinking, your own thoughts. So now we can say that a thought is the most subtle form of energy that we play with. In fact, we can't even say where thoughts come from or where they go. And then the next energy we'll experience is a feeling, which is not as subtle as a thought because you can actually feel the feelings in your body. If you're upset, you may feel it in your heart center, or you may feel it in your throat getting tight. You may feel it in your gut. So our bodies are naturally feeling the feeling and letting us know. They're like thermometers. And then the thoughts, which lead to the feelings, become concrete out in the world as words. So there's an ancient saying that watch your thoughts. They become how you feel. Watch your feelings. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your actions. They become your habits. Watch your habits. They become your character. Watch your character. It becomes your destiny. So this is important stuff. So step one in the language of our lives is just to monitor our self-talk, our inner conversations, and see how we talk to ourselves internally. And then pick it apart to see if the way we're talking to ourselves is actually true. So most people need ways to become aware of their inner conversations, which is what coaching is all about. One of the most powerful reasons to have a coach or a mentor in your life. I'm going to suggest a couple of simple techniques that can help you. So first, at random times throughout your day, even just three or four times a day, ask yourself a very straightforward question. Just say, what am I saying to myself right now? Then if you can write down your thoughts along with a few notes about the situation that you're in right now, and then finally, what the feeling is. So your purpose here is to refine your self-talk, to try and make it as accurate as possible as it's coming up. It's important to record your self-talk without any censorship, just the way it comes out. The next technique is you can use uncomfortable emotions or moods as a support for this awareness. So let's say stress, depression, anxiety come up for you. Those are cues for listening to your self-talk. When you feel stressed, you automatically go, okay, that's a cue, I should listen, what am I saying? When this happens, then you identify the feeling as accurately as possible. Then you ask yourself, what was I saying to myself right before I started feeling this way? Or what have I been saying to myself since I've been feeling this way? Remember, the thought creates the feeling, and the feeling creates another thought, often more dire than the first one. A third support that is really valuable is situations you're imagining could be really difficult for you. So you might write down a description of the coming event, you know, I have to go to a cocktail party with a whole bunch of strangers, you know. Then ask yourself, what am I saying to myself about this event? If your thoughts are negative, maybe you're saying, God, you know, I don't have an outfit to wear. What am I going to do? Or these people won't find me interesting. You know, they're bankers and lawyers, and what will I have to say to them? Then you can use your strengths to turn these disruptive thoughts, which become feelings, into more positive ones. And this is a way you build, you take a potentially difficult experience and you build success into it. The real power of self-talk lies in how it changes behavior. So simply correcting your internal programming improves your mood, for sure. But it won't do the most important job for you. The ultimate purpose of examining what's going on inside your own mind is to change feelings and thoughts, which begin to change how you language your life, which begins to affect how you act. Thinking correctly is the first step, but enduring, lasting change comes with modifying behavior. And you can't modify or change behavior unless you first modify thoughts and feelings. So, if, for example, your self-talk tells you, I can't stand this job I'm in, it's killing me, but I need this job because I don't know what else to do, you're likely to stay locked in the same unhappy situation. To make your self-talk more accurate and get to the truth, you might relanguage it. The truth might be closer to, I feel anxious about leaving this job to pursue the uncertainty of finding a career that would really make me feel happy and alive. But if I really want to give myself a chance for a more fulfilling career, I have to take a leap of faith. Now, doesn't that sound better? Doesn't that feel better? So the self-talk becomes the seed. And to activate the seed, you fertilize it with action. Action is the fertilizer. In this example, the action would be you need to leave your job or at least start pursuing other ideas, perhaps looking into education, doing more networking to discover this new career path. And then finally, the ultimate action is you leave the job and look for another one. So to find the behavior that goes with this new self-talk, you ask yourself these questions. What behavior has my negative self-talk generated? How has it prevented me from reaching my goals? Right? How does the self-talk, I can't stand my job, it's killing me, but I need this job, how does that affect you reaching your goals? As opposed to, I feel anxious about leaving this job, but if I really want a chance, I have to take a leap of faith. The actions of your self-corrected self-talk obviously require something new. And this is really important because you want to find out what you're habitually saying to yourself. You want to find a new way of languaging it, and then see what this new way of languaging it points to as a way to move forward. So this accurate self-talk, reprogramming it, guides you to know how your behavior needs to change. And behaviors is what counts. There's a proverb that says, to know, but not to act, is not to know at all. So the language we use in everyday life represents and impacts how we experience our world. And these words often become distorted. We call them cognitive distortions. really a cognitive distortion is an exaggerated and irrational thought. So we could say it's just like a pattern of thinking, which leads to the kind of language you tend to use. So here's what I'd consider the top 10 ones that I see over and over again as a coach. The first one is all or nothing thinking. That's seeing things as black or white, right or wrong. Nothing in between. That's kind of like, essentially, if I'm not perfect, then I am a failure. Or I didn't get an A on that paper, so writing it was a complete waste of time. That type of thinking leads to those type of words. The second distortion is overgeneralization. And that's using words like always, or never, in relation to one event or experience, like I'll never get that promotion, or he always does that. So you want to start being aware, because nobody always does everything. And never is an unknown. But this is something we think and say to ourselves over and over again. So our world becomes that way, becomes a never world. The third one is minimizing or magnifying. So this is when you see things as dramatically more or less important than they actually are, which often creates what we call a catastrophe. So it's something like, I forgot to send that email, so that means my client will stop trusting me, so that means I'm probably going to get fired, which means I'll never get another client like this, which means my life is ruined, which means what if I end up losing my... You can see how that minimizing or magnifying leads to catastrophe. Shoulds. Should, need to, must, ought to motivate yourself. They're ultimately words that are failures, because then you feel guilty when you don't follow through, or you feel anger or resentment when somebody else doesn't follow through. I should have, fill in the blank, got the deck painted this weekend. They ought to have been more considerate of my feelings. They should know that would upset me. Now, we all use should and need to, must, let's face it, but these words lead to us suffering. So try and use them less, or at least notice how much shoulding you're doing. The fifth distortion is labeling. That's when you attach a negative label to yourself or others, again, following a single event. How many times have you said something similar to this? I didn't stand up to my boss, so I'm a loser. Labeling's a big one. Jumping to conclusions, number six, that breaks down into two categories, mind reading, which is making a negative assumption about how people see you without actual evidence or facts. Like your friend is preoccupied and didn't bother to call you back right away. And so you jump to making a negative assumption. She must think I'm a total bore these days or she would have called me back. Fortune teller is making negative predictions about the future, again, without evidence. So it might be something like, I won't be able to sell my house, I'll be stuck here. You know, perhaps even though the housing market is good, or no one will understand, I won't get invited back again, even though people are supportive. So it's the mind making a fortune telling, kind of getting the crystal ball out and jumping to the negative, which leads to this type of language. This is a huge one. I notice this maybe even the most in coaching, which is discounting the positive. Not acknowledging the positive, saying anyone could have done it, or insisting that your positive actions, your qualities, your achievements don't count. So that doesn't count. Anyone could have done it. I've only cut back from smoking, you know, two packs a day to one, so it doesn't count because I've not fully quit. Everything counts. Every small step counts. The eighth one is the blame game. It's a big one. Blaming yourself when you weren't entirely responsible, or, of course, blaming other people and denying your own role in the situation. If only I was younger, I would have gotten the job. If only I hadn't said that, they wouldn't have fill in the blank. If only he hadn't yelled at me, I wouldn't have been angry, and we wouldn't have had that car accident. 9 is emotional reasoning. I feel, therefore I am. So we often assume that a feeling is true without digging deeper to see if it's accurate. You know, I feel like such an idiot. You know, it must be true. I feel guilty. I must have done something wrong. I feel bad for, you know, yelling at my partner. I must be really selfish and inconsiderate. Often the feelings aren't true. And then finally, the detail filter, which is allowing yourself to dwell on a negative detail, one little negative detail. So for example, you're having a great evening, you know, dinner out with your friends at a beautiful restaurant, your meal was slightly undercooked and you had to send it back, and so you go home and say, oh, that spoiled the whole evening. So it's like taking one little detail and blowing it up. And these distortions, these ways of thinking, these patterns of thinking, these 10 patterns, if you actually start noticing, you'll see that they create havoc in our lives. And they're all based on the way we think and then speak to ourselves. So they're really important to pay attention to. And in the language of our lives, we need to draw attention to the positive. You know, there are many good things happening out in the world, and probably more good than bad. But we have to realize how often we're spoon-fed negativity. You know, turn on the news, TV, you know. I haven't had one in 10 years, that's why. Buy a newspaper, you know, read a magazine. They're filled with bad news. And we want to be well-informed with what's going on, but to talk about world problems excessively or with no purpose just creates a person who feels powerless all the time. And you know the kind of people who are powerless because they always talk like victims. I'm not suggesting that we deny reality and that we all become sort of Pollyannas, but we can choose what we talk about. And instead of feeding ourselves a steady diet of bad news, we can choose to read, watch, and talk about positive things. You know, so be aware. What are you talking about? Sometimes people don't realize how much they're talking about bad things. That, and by bad things, I mean things that make them feel disempowered. There is a very interesting study done at Stanford University by a psychology professor that said, in addition to time and space, languages also shape how we understand cause and effect. So, for example, he was comparing English to Japanese and Spanish. English-speaking people describe events in terms of people doing things. So English speakers would tend to say something like, John broke the vase, even if it was an accident. Now, Japanese or Spanish speakers would be more likely to say, the vase broke itself. That's the difference between the language. But it actually has a profound consequence for how the speakers understand events, how they construct notions of what happened, and how they remember things as an eyewitness, whether they blame or punish other people. So there was this interesting study done at Stanford, and speakers of English, Spanish, and Japanese watched videos of two people popping balloons, breaking eggs, all the fun stuff, spilling drinks, breaking glasses, either intentionally or accidentally. And later, everyone got a surprise memory test. So for each event, can you remember who did it? Now, what they discovered was this striking difference in eyewitness memory. Spanish and Japanese speakers did not remember the people who were involved in the accidental events like the English speakers did. For accidental events, when one wouldn't normally mention that in Spanish or Japanese, they didn't encode it. They didn't remember it as that person did it. Now, that's amazing because it means if you don't have a word for something, it might not become part of what you see, do, and feel and remember out in the world. And new research says, does language we speak determine how healthy and rich we are? The research is saying, yes, it does. Keith Chen of the Yale Business School said that the structure of language affects our judgments and decisions about the future, and it might have a dramatic long-term consequence. So the way the research is pointing to the possibility that the way we talk about the future actually shapes our mindset. So language can move the future back or forth in our own heads, and this could have a dynamic influence on our judgments. And at a more practical level, researchers have been looking for ways to help people act in accordance with their long-term interests. Coaches do, trying to help people act and feel and do things that will help them over the long term. So this is pretty interesting. The research suggests that making the future feel closer to the present might improve future-oriented behavior. So, for instance, researchers recently presented people with pictures of their future selves using, you know, special age progression algorithms. So basically it forecasts what you're going to look like as you get older. One group saw a digital representation, but it was more like their current self. And the other saw a really age-morphed version of their future self. Now, the people that saw the age-morphed version, they allocated more money towards a hypothetical retirement savings account. So that intervention brought people's future to the present, and as a result, they wanted to save more money. This is pretty interesting research, because it points to the possibility that the way we talk about the future shapes what we do in the present, which is why there's so much interest in meditation and mindfulness now, because it's a way of being more present and not seeing time in such a linear way. So, you know, that's food for thought. Now, next, these are three words that may be ruining your life, and I hear them over and over again as a coach. I don't know. And my sense is it's not motivation, it's not lack of passion that keeps people from doing what they want to do. It's not knowing where to start or how to get from A to B. That's the single biggest reason people don't take action to make their dreams a reality. So how do we overcome this? How do we stop letting I don't know keep us from becoming successful? The answer is pretty simple. You have to develop the ability to stop caring about not knowing. You cultivate the habit of doing before knowing. Now, this seems daunting and sort of counterintuitive, but it's really a very easy habit to create and practice. And you can practice it in a lot of different ways right now. You know, here's a common, very small example. How many times does your partner or your spouse or somebody say, "What do you want to have for dinner?" And you respond, "I don't know." You know, next time, instead of using those three dirty words, just ask yourself, what's something I'd like to have for dinner, and then respond. Now do this when someone asks you where you'd like to hang out, what you'd like to do. So instead of reactively saying, I don't know, take the time to come up with a response. And you know, the thing is, even if you're not 100% sure about it, just come up with something you'd be satisfied with. Anything other than I don't know is an improvement. Next, you go to how could I best use my time right now? What is the highest leverage use of time right now? You might take a minute or two to brainstorm and prioritize. And if you're having trouble coming up with an answer, you just pick whatever you think would be the most productive. Anything is better than I don't know. You know, just imagine all the possibilities for you to practice actively making decisions based on I do know rather than I don't. And that to me is the difference between living and existing. And, you know, I don't know is a phrase we use a lot in our lives. We're all guilty of it, and that's okay. Every once in a while, there's a real I don't know. But there's a lot of times where it's just a natural, reflective urge to stay in it. So I urge you to practice moving in the direction of knowing when you feel stuck in a state of indecision. It's just a tiny shift. There's a saying, to use bitter words when kind words are at hand is like picking unripe fruit when the ripe fruit is there. You know, words and thoughts have their own energy, including self-talk. And everything you think and say affects your personal vibration and the way you feel. So try this little exercise. Say this sentence to yourself as I'm saying it, you know, in your head if you can. Or just follow along. Close your eyes. And just notice how it makes you feel. Notice the sensations and reactions in your body. How does it affect your mood? What kind of thoughts come up after this statement happens? I'm so useless and pathetic. I'm no good at anything. And everything always goes wrong for me anyways. Nobody loves me that much. I mean, I'm basically unlovable. And what if I did end up with some horrible disease? And the cancer rate is so high these days. Really high. Gotta be just my luck. I hate my job. So menial, they don't pay me enough. So, how do you feel when you're listening to this? You know, for me, I notice my body is suddenly kind of getting heavy and depressed, and I'm starting to think about other things that are related to all these ideas. And these are the kind of conversations many of us are having all day long in our heads. We're talking like this. Now, let's repurpose it, reframe it. I'm proud of myself. I put my best effort into that work, and regardless of the outcome, I'm pretty happy with how it turned out. Grateful for the people who supported me, and even the people who didn't. They made me stronger. You know, it just makes me realize how much I appreciate all the little things in my life, because they're not little. I have no idea what the future will bring, but I'm healthy right now, and I want to enjoy myself. I'm not perfect, but I'm a work in progress, and that's good enough. I'll keep trying. Just lighter. You know, we're having these conversations all day in our heads. But by making things lighter and even tweaking subtle changes in the language, it's driving us in a new direction. So it's something we want to start to be aware of. We tend to accumulate a lot of negative beliefs and fears during our lives, and the older we get, the more we have. And so our subconscious gets filled with, you know, what can I say, a lot of trash. And that trash starts to rot, and it starts to smell. And, you know, we got to take the trash out. It's this trash that creates this self-talk, which eventually creates the language of our lives. And so let's take the garbage out. You know, as I previously mentioned, words and thoughts have an energetic vibration. Everything in the universe is energy. Frequency. And if you've studied energy medicine, then perhaps you might ascribe it to this idea that positive, happy thoughts have a higher vibrational frequency. Or it feels much different to be in a spectacularly beautiful garden as opposed to a dirty, you know, room with no light. You can feel the vibrational difference. So words are like that too, and we realize this on some deep level. It's just a question of if we can connect it in our daily life. So it's something to keep in mind. You know, make your words more like a garden than a slum, and see what happens to you. See what changes. And it does require concentration. I mean, you have to really be on yourself, be watching your mind. We're responsible for how we feel. So, you know, what type of chatter would you prefer to have? You know, positive, happy chatter that has a higher vibrational frequency, or negative chatter that has a lower vibration? And you're not to beat yourself up. I mean, we all have negative thoughts. We all get down at times. And that isn't the point. The point is that we just realize that we're responsible for how we feel and we can change it. And when you accept that, that you're responsible for how you feel, you're changing the language of your life. So to sum it up, become aware of your internal conversation. The first step towards improving our thoughts is to really listen to our self-talk. Are your thoughts positive or negative? Do they lift you up or do they bring you down? Do they inspire you or do they block you? You may not realize how often negative thoughts pop into your head. So becoming aware of this internal dialogue and its content, and begin the gradual process of making it more positive. Take control of your thinking. Realize your thoughts. Create your feelings. And your feelings lead to the words that will eventually come out of your mouth. And the words that come out of your mouth will shape your life. Words matter because the right words can create powerful perspective shifts. I think if you were to speak to any of my clients, they would all say that one of the most amazing benefits of having a coach is that they have someone that listens deeply to them, that listens to the way they language their lives, and really helps them to re-language it. The easiest way to get unstuck. You know, sometimes I recommend that people use a rubber band, put it around their wrist, and every time there's a negative self-talk, you just pull the rubber band and let it snap a little. It serves as a sort of physical reminder, oh, that feels bad, I don't like that. It makes you more aware of your thoughts. It's a touchstone. Helps you to begin the process of going, ouch, that thought hurt. You know, and sometimes I've even written a little mantra on the elastic band, like who dares wins or I can do it. You know, so it's really simple. I just want to encourage you to start being aware of your self-talk. Determine which conversations you're having with yourself are helpful and which ones are harmful. And that's the same in your external life with people. And take control over your thoughts. And your life will blossom before your eyes. We all make mistakes. We all have set. We all experience failure. We all have bad things happen to us. The key is to learn from the experience. Use our self-control to stop thinking about them. And realize they don't have to define us. Now, if you're even a little bit curious about working with a coach, drop me a line at my website, lifecompasscoaching.ca. Or you can visit me on Facebook, Life Compass Coaching. And if you want a test drive coaching and you're a first-time client, then get in touch with me. I have an ethical deal for first-time clients. I also have a short 4-page ebook on responsible self-talk with some really simple, easy, and very powerful techniques you can use to relanguage your daily life and relationships. If you want to study the cognitive distortions, you can drop me a line. I'd be happy to send it to you. And feel free to check out the other programs on the Life Coach Radio Network and the International Life Coach Radio Network for inspiration and ideas for living. You can also listen to any of our episodes on iTunes. We've hit the big time. We're on iTunes. So I'll end with a thought. tell yourself everything will work out. Tell yourself things will get better. Tell yourself your life matters. Tell yourself you're worthy of great things. Tell yourself the time is now. Tell yourself you can be who you really are. Because here's the thing. We believe what we habitually tell ourselves. And when we start to tell ourselves better stories, we change the language of our life. Thanks for listening to Frank Talk. I'll see you in 2 weeks. Good night.